business event, Sydney has announced its latest round of ambassadors for the city in a program designed to use global networks and expertise to help BE Sydney secure multi-million dollar international events for Australia. The Ambassador Program, launched in 2009, has seen more than 90 alumni focus on sectors including infrastructure, information and communication technology, professional services, medical research and education, attracting events worth more than $1 billion in economic impact to New South Wales. One of this year's ambassadors is Professor Ken Maher from leading international design practice Hassell, and he's President-elect of the Australian Institute of Architects. Ken Maher is currently guiding the Darling Harbour Precinct redevelopment in Sydney. On the Money reporter Roderick Chambers caught up with him to find out what he hopes to bring to the role.
I think it's just to spread the word about the benefits of Sydney as a city, as a place in the networks and places where I do my daily work and so on.
And we're obviously looking for people to be ambassadors that have a lot of international connections and that are at the top of their field. And you are, I understand, a president-elect for the Institute of Architects here in
Australia. Indeed. I'm also currently the president of a group called ASBEC, the Australian Sustainable Built Environment Council, which is a sort of peak bodies in the building industry or the building area that have an interest in sustainability. So I do get around the country quite a bit for that. I've also been chairman of Hassell, which is one of our largest multidisciplinary design, architecture and design practices for about 12 years, but I've just stepped aside and I'm now a Hassell Fellow. So I'm doing projects at large and travelling a little bit internationally for that as well.
Now, you've been involved in the development in Sydney of the Darling Harbour Precinct around Barangaroo.
Well, I've had a little bit to do with Barangaroo, but I think you're probably referring to Darling Harbour Live, which is the project now happening just nearby here in Darling Harbour. And that's the International Convention Centre, Exhibition Centre, and a new theatre, which replaces the previous Entertainment Centre. And that's really the renewal of a whole significant part of the city, as was Barangaroo, about the same site area, in fact, about 22 hectares of harbourside site. And really, it's about the complete renewal of that part of the city, and importantly, about connecting through to other parts nearby, particularly in the creative sector here, where the University of Technology is located, through to Chinatown, through to Piemont Altamo and back into the city.
Because that's something we haven't done terribly well in Sydney in the past, is connecting things and looking at an area as a whole precinct, I suppose. And really that whole area of water, which is Darling Harbour, is all connected, isn't it?
Really, it's sort of interesting that if you go back to 1988, when the earlier iteration of Darling Harbour was developed as part of the bicentenary celebrations, it was seen as a sort of isolated precinct. And in particular, it had no residential in it, because it was felt that entertainment and residential didn't work together at that time, and it was really not very well connected back into the city. The city has grown and changed and become more interesting since that time, but in fact, in urban design thinking at the moment, it is completely the opposite. We understand the real value of interaction, of collaboration, and we know the most interesting parts of the city are the parts of what we might call a mixed use, where people can work, can take leisure, can live, can have creative interactions and do the kind of things that drive the knowledge economy of the city.
I suppose that's interesting for architects. You've really got to think of the future. How people may live now, or how they think they live, may not be, in fact, what happens in the future, and there may be changes happening. So I suppose you've really got to be a bit of futurist and work out what will happen in 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, 50 years, because your buildings last for a lot longer than just what people are thinking about now, don't they?
Absolutely. And I guess You can take your best guess at it, try to get the best advice that you can, but to try to put in place, I mean, cities are interesting because they've always got an inherent structure of some sort, and usually it's the sort of street system that connects parts of the city together. And my view is, if you create a sort of robust public domain, street, park system. And if that's sort of connected into the broad structure of the city, then things will come and go. You know, building sites will be renewed from time to time, or buildings will be reused from time to time. I guess down in Darling Harbour, we are dealing, though, with some fairly specialist building types. And we endeavour to make them as flexible as possible in order that they can take on the change in programs that might occur over time. But also you have to be careful that you don't make them so flexible they become bland. They need to have character and quality to attract people and engage people in the life of the city.
Now, Australian architects, are we having a lot of success overseas?
We are. I think there's a great interest in Australian architecture internationally, and a lot of practices are working, particularly in China and Southeast Asia, but also now in North America and Europe. My practice, for instance, Hassell, we have offices in London, 4 offices in China, office in Singapore and throughout Australia, and we're doing significant projects in all those parts of the world, and we're not alone as a practice in doing that.
Mm, so, I mean, this is an example of our services economy that
I think it is.
That Mr. Hockey is very keen on expanding. And so this is one of the things. We can export the expertise, not just the
dirt. You don't have
to
necessarily get rid of the raw product here.
That's right.
And particularly coal. But, it's interesting. A lot of the government policies around export have traditionally been in the area of agriculture and mining. Whereas, in fact, about 85% of our exports are services. So the world has changed, and I'm not sure policy has always kept pace with that. And
yes,
we, from in architecture, have been lobbying government considerably around supporting the export of services, and particularly professional services. And we are well known in the region, but also internationally, about quite advanced thinking around sustainability, for instance. And some of our technologies in that area are also very advanced from a research point of view, which gets picked up in places like Germany and China. I do think a plea would be that we do need our governments to invest more in our universities to support the kind of knowledge base that we're developing in that regard.
I think one of the benefits of you being one of the ambassadors then is that you have a lot of ideas and connections within Australia, and if people are overseas looking at doing projects and so forth, you are providing connectedness from Australia's point of view in getting people together who have the required expertise. So I suppose that's one of the real benefits of this ambassador program.
I think it is, and you know, I think we all know that we gain a lot from interaction with others. We talk about it in the workplace, we talk about it in, you know, industry and in startups and so on. It's about innovation, but innovation is fed by interaction and connectiveness. So certainly I'll be very keen to promote. I'm passionate about what we do in Sydney and Australia. I think we're very fortunate as a community, if you like, or as a country, but we've got an ability to learn from, but to contribute internationally in very significant ways. And I guess I'll be keen to do that as much as I can.